A very miserable creature, he looked, dripping and dank, smelling of fish. He still clutched one in his hand. His sparse locks were hanging like rank weed over his bony brows. His nose was sniveling.
"Lursas! Lursas!" he said.
"The cold hurts us! Yes, it does! It hurts us, and we've done nothing!"
"Nothing?"
said Faramir, looking at the wretched creature with a keen glance, but without any expression on his face, either of anger, or pity, or wonder.
"Nothing! Have you never done anything worthy of binding, or of worse punishment? However, that is not for me to judge happily. But tonight, you have come where it is death to come. The fish of this pool are dearly bought."
Gollum dropped the fish from his hand.
"Don't want fish," he said.
"The price is not set on the fish," said Faramir. "Only to come here and look on the pool bears the penalty of death. I have spared you so far at the prayer of Frodo here, who says that of him, at least, you have deserved some thanks. But you must also satisfy me. What is your name? Whence do you come, and whither do you go? What is your business?"
"We are lost, lost," said Gollum. "No name, no business, no precious, nothing. Only empty, only hungry. Yes, we are hungry. A few little fishes, nasty, bony little fishes, for a poor creature, and they say death. So wise they are, so just, so very just."
"Not very wise," said Faramir. "But just, yes, perhaps. As just as our little wisdom allows. Unloose him, Frodo."
Faramir took a small nail knife from his belt and handed it to Frodo. Gollum, misunderstanding the gesture, squealed and fell down.
"Now, Smeagol," said Frodo, "you must trust me. I will not desert you. Answer truthfully if you can. It will do you good, not harm."
He cut the cords on Gollum's wrists and ankles and raised him to his feet.
"Come hither," said Faramir. "Look at me. Do you know the name of this place? Have you been here before?"
Slowly, Gollum raised his eyes and looked unwillingly into Faramir's. All light went out of them, and they stared bleak and pale for a moment into the clear, unwavering eyes of the man of Gondor. There was a still silence. Then Gollum dropped his head and shrank down, until he was squatting on the floor, shivering.
"We doesn't know, and we doesn't want to know," he whimpered. "Never came here, never come again."
"There are locked doors and closed windows in your mind, and dark rooms behind them," said Faramir. "But in this, I judge that you speak the truth. It is well for you. What oath will you swear never to return, and never to lead any living creature hither by word or sign?"
"Master knows,"
said Gollum, with a sidelong glance at Frodo.
"Yes, he knows. We will promise Master if he saves us. We'll promise to it, yes."
He crawled to Frodo's feet.
"Save us, nice Master,"
he whined.
"Smeagol promises to Precious, promises faithfully. Never come again, never speak. No, never. No, Precious, no."
"Are you satisfied?" said Faramir.
"Yes," said Frodo. "At least, you must either accept this promise or carry out your law. You will get no more. But I promised that if he came to me, he should not be harmed, and I would not be proved faithless."
Faramir sat for a moment and thought.
"Very good," he said at last. "I surrender you to your master, to Frodo, son of Drogo. Let him declare what he will do with you."